Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Today's episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by Koi CBD. Ooh, CBD oil, baby. Feeling relaxed just hearing me talk about it, aren't you? If you don't know what CBD oil is, don't feel like a dum-dum. Adam's here to tell you. CBD is an oil derived from industrial hemp and has no psychoactive effects, man. So you can get the medical benefits, okay, from the hemp plant without getting high. There's no weed. You're not going to get paranoid. It's a great natural alternative to over-the-counter and pharmaceutical drugs. People use CBD oil for pain, depression, anxiety, stress, inflammation. New benefits are being discovered for CBD oil all the time. My mom uses the topical cream from Koi CBD, and it's helped immensely, which is big time because she's been having a tough time with arthritis and finding a solution. And Koi CBD is stepping up to the plate with their topical creams. They've got tincture droplets, vape pens, edibles, pet products for your dogs and cats to chill out. Come on, it's a stressful life being a cat and a dog. You want to chill out? Get some Koi CBD treats. They got topical products and more. All their products are manufactured in the USA with 100% natural CBD oil. It's a family-owned and operated company, and it truly is the best-tasting CBD products on the market. I feel like left and right, people are approaching me after shows, just being in the comedy business, because comedy and CBD kind of go hand in hand. It's a great stress reliever for our world. The Koi CBD gummies I fuck with daily because it puts me in a zen state before I start my day. And at night, kind of relaxes me and helps me sleep better, quite honestly. It's America's number one trusted CBD brand. All the Koi CBD products are THC-free. And there's a guaranteed purity, safety, and consistency level in all of their products. They're the best tasting CBD products on the market. Again, I've tried so many. The amount of people that have been like, try these pens. We got these flavors and these, you can put strawberry. Root beer, shut up, man. No, I'm going with Koi CBD because they got the most shit and the best tasting shit. And quite honestly, it's made me feel the best out of any of the products I've tried. And that's why they're America's number one trusted CBD brand. So if you want to get your stress relief on, your relaxation going, and start living a better, healthier life, get rid of that depression, anxiety, stress, and just start feeling better, then get hooked up with Koi CBD, okay? Head on over right now to KoiCBD.com, that's KoiCBD.com, and enter promo code AboutLastNight for 20% off any retail order from the website. That's Koi, KoiCBD.com, promo code AboutLastNight for 20% off any retail order from the website. Gummies, tinctures, pens, creams, they got it all. I'm telling you, they're the shit. And Brad and I couldn't love them more. Who knows? They might fucking make Brad grow, which would ruin his act, but would help him reach the Cocoa Puffs on the top shelf. And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Happy Monday. Happy Monday. Welcome back to the About Last Night podcast. Brand new episode today with the one and only Tony Hale. Holy shit. You know him from Veep, Arrested Development, The Heat, a new voice in the new Toy Story 4. He's got a new cartoon that he created coming out on Netflix that I'm actually doing some voices on, called Archibald, coming out next fall. The guys and everything, one of the greatest, Tony Hale. This episode was, man, so fucking fun. Tony's just so funny and a great dude. And one of the comedy greats, you know what I'm saying? Just look at anything he's ever been in. This conversation ruled, so definitely follow Tony on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Tony Hale. Follow me at Adam Ray Comedy, Brad at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast. Next week, I'll be in Los Angeles. All my LA shows for the next 2 weeks, actually, at AdamRayComedy.com. And then I'll be at Acme Comedy Club in Minnesota, April 16th through the 20th. So get your tickets at AdamRayComedy.com for that. Brad Williams and I will be in Austin, Texas at Moon Tower April 27th. And that Friday before, just announced last week, I'll be at the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness Show at the Microsoft Theater in Los Angeles April 26th. Me, Ray Romano, Greg Fitzsimmons, Felipe Esparza, Jamie Lee. It's going to be a fucking blast. Get your tickets at KevinandBean.com. Brad Williams, April 18th through the 19th. Going to be at Skyline Comedy Club in Appleton, Wisconsin. Go see Brad. Tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com. She-Ra Season 2 drops April 26th on Netflix. Check that out. Subscribe and like the podcast on iTunes. Follow us on Stitcher, Spotify, Laughable, the podcast app, and comment and rate the podcast on the iTunes page. Helps us climb the charts. And shop AdamRay.com for Adam Ray merch, AboutLastNightPodcast.com for all your ALN merch, and make sure to pre-order my album, April 11th, Read the Room, coming out on all platforms where you get audio and comedy. Read the Room, April 11th, pre-order. All right? So many great apps coming up, so make sure you're subscribed. Tell your friends, tell your family. Holy shit. Let's get into the episode. We got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way. Sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Tony Hale.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's About Last Night.
What shows do you like? You just said you guest hosted on RuPaul's Drag Race.
I just guest hosted on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Was that a bucket list thing for you? Do you have a bucket? Does Tony Hale have a bucket list?
I've never been a guy who's like thinks like has a 5-year, 10-year, 15-year plan.
Me neither.
And I think it is more challenging for me to stay present than it is for me to look in the future. So it's more of a challenge to say. It's very easy for me to be like, what's happening next? What's coming up? What am I going to do? That's like a default. It's harder for me to stay where I am.
Right.
So I've never really had that, no.
What about goals?
Or maybe that doesn't make sense, but you'd think I would have that because that's a default, but maybe I work so hard to stay present, I don't really think about that.
It's also like that's, you know, that you kind of miss out on what's happening now if you're looking too far ahead,
which is hard, though, man.
The premise of Archibald.
Hey, which you just did a voice on.
Yeah.
Two voices.
Yeah.
And one, you were a douchebag.
Yeah.
And one, you were an action hero.
Yeah. Typecast.
I actually hear your voice, and it because we've done so much editing on the show, all I see is your cartoon character.
For real?
Yeah. who you saw the other day, Johnny Hawkstorm.
I was bragging to my girlfriend so much about it. I'm like, because, you know, a handful of the cartoons I've done shit on, you know, there's one other one on out now, but I never see them.
Mm-hmm.
When they're, I just feel like they take so long, right? You've been working on it for how long?
3 years. Yeah.
It looks so good.
It's so
good. You got to be pumped on it.
I love it. Yeah. I really, really, really love it. I really have a new appreciation for how much work goes into that stuff.
You know what I love, too, is that you are, there. Sorry, this is Brad. This is our the other half of the podcast, who's
hey,
just
Brad.
A little late. Hey, Brad, say hi to Tony.
He already hates me.
Yeah, I think I buzzed him in. He also couldn't hear the speaker.
Oh, you can buzz people in from your phone?
Yeah.
God, I love that. Those small things, I love that technology.
It's the best
stuff.
But the speaker is at like 5'8", and Brad's 4'4", so I think he probably couldn't hear.
Uh-huh, got it.
And you can make those jokes, by the way.
How did you? I would not do that.
How did we meet?
How did you guys meet?
At college.
Really?
Yeah.
And you said SE. What is that again?
USC, downtown LA.
Oh, USC. Yeah. Oh, I just heard SE.
Oh, yeah.
USC, yes.
SE. Wouldn't it be great if I made up a school?
I know. I was like,
you can do that, right? On the Wikipedia page?
Oh, sure.
Brad.
Hi, Brad. Hey.
Hey, buddy.
Tony.
How are you?
Nice to meet you.
Nice orange jacket.
I know.
Yeah, well, I wanted to make sure that I was seen by the traffic.
You're popping the orange.
I didn't want to get run over for the third time in my life.
Wait, are you serious? Have you been run over 3 times?
Yes. Are we recording? I'll tell that story.
Tell it again.
I kind of want to hear it, but then that might make me sad. So I don't know.
No, I'm fine.
He's still here to talk about it.
Yeah, that's true, I'm alive. That's
true. I guess what? Spoiler alert. He lived.
Yeah. It's
were you on a bike? Were you like? How did that work?
Oh no, walking because cars back up. They don't see me.
Oh. Okay.
And the best part is when they do run me over, and then they like get out of their car, and then they see. They like think that I maybe wasn't a dwarf before they hit me with the car. Now they're just like, "What did I do?"
Do you feel like nowadays with technology, since cars can sense so much, that doesn't happen as much?
Yes. Now with the backup cameras and people breaking and things like that, it's a very dwarf friendly world, Tony.
I'm so glad.
Let me spit out my gum so I'm not unprofessional.
Brad, you are a fan of RuPaul's Drag Race, right?
Hell yeah!
Tony just guest hosted.
I just guest hosted.
Yeah.
By the way,
guest hosted or guest judged?
Guest judged. Yeah, wow. RuPaul's always the host. Mama Ru's always the host.
She goes by that?
Oh yeah, Mama Ru.
Wow.
And I guess judge with Clea DuVall, who's on, we all do Veep together. Yeah. So it was like a Veep.
If you episode. Can't love one another, how are you going to love yourself?
That's right.
Is that what she says? That's to open and close?
She says it to close.
I hope she says it at all times. I just hope.
Do you think she says it when she's making love or when she like talks in the mirror to herself, brushing her teeth?
These are things I think about. Yeah. Brad sports a money clip. Yeah, someone who sports a money clip is.
What does that say to you?
That says. Confidence to me,
yeah,
because I have a wallet where I my bills feel a little more secure.
I'm loosey goosey. I had one of those George Costanza adjust your spine wallets for the longest time, and then and then we got a lovely sponsor, Ridge Wallet.
Yeah,
wait, so that's a sponsored wallet?
Oh yeah,
yeah, that's the Ridge Wallet, and that's what fine. I use. So now,
first of all, you're welcome, Ridge Wallet.
Yeah, yeah, even though they're not a sponsor anymore, I will still like to say they should be a sponsor because now I look. As if I'm a man of confidence.
That's right. You do look like a man of confidence.
I mean, I wear orange. I have money clips.
Well, the back of your jacket says Nederland.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
It's because I'm Dutch. And my grandmother had this weird saying where she would always say, like, if you ain't Dutch, you ain't much. Which sounds like something a contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race would say.
Like, oh, 100%. But I just saw Leaving Neverland, and I'm not going to lie. I saw it, and I was like, are we promoting the show?
Did Brad just come from the ranch?
What's happening?
That's the birthing place of all dwarves.
Okay, good.
Now, if only Michael had found some gay dwarves, that would have been, he would have saved himself so much trouble. It's the best of everything. You get the illusion of children.
Brad, you might have found your bit about that.
That is a good bet.
But such a sad documentary. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah.
And how anybody cannot believe these men.
They're not actors. Actors can't act that good.
It is. The moms, so genuine what those men were saying.
Well, and
to ask them to relive it was like a tall order, man. So in their eyes, that painful. One kid. I mean, they both seem heavily affected, but that
100%.
The one kid, like, I mean, good God. Like, you could tell he could just, like, he's like, I'm not going to unsee. Like, I remember one time I walked into my college roommate masturbating. I still haven't been able to unsee that. Two girls, one cup. There's a lot of things that you still can't unsee.
Right.
But, like, you could see behind their eyes, like, they're, like.
So much pain.
Yeah.
The thing why I do believe them is because of the minutia. They remember the little details because when you go through a trauma like that, you literally take a snapshot of your brain so you know everything. So when someone calls into like some radio show and is like, yeah, man, I know you're talking about crazy sex stories. I banged my teacher when I was in seventh grade. They're like, okay, what was it like? What was the story? Well, I mean, she was really hot. They're like, no.
Yeah, you're faking. It didn't happen.
Because that was trauma if you were young.
Yeah. And you would remember more details than just, she was really hot.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. And so now the big question is, if Dirty Diana comes on,
what do you do, Tommy Hale?
Do you dance? Do you leave the room? Do you take a stand?
Sounds like a game show waiting to happen.
Wow. So they just play R. Kelly, Michael Jackson, and just say, do you dance to this?
Well, I was at Sundance when it premiered, and there was a big thing because at parties they were playing Michael Jackson music, and everybody was like, we know that this documentary is playing around the corner. Like, it was a really odd.
And it's like the talk thing of the festival.
Yeah.
So that had to be crazy.
What were you doing there?
I did. What if this is one of those times that I'm making something up? I banged my sister, man. No, I did.
She was really hot.
And I have no details about the movie. It's called To the Stars. It was like an indie movie. It was a really, really intense but fun movie.
Nice.
And are you looking for intense roles? Because your sort of two most prevalent roles are
masculine and quirky sidekicks out there.
A little bit.
Yeah. 100%. I'm going to own it.
I don't know if I'm looking for it.
I mean, I'm always open to it, but I'm also, I enjoy playing the quirky comedy. It's really, really fun. Because I remember when I was doing commercials, have you guys done commercials?
A few.
Yeah.
I did commercials in New York for so long, and people I had to talk a lot about shit about commercials. They were like, oh, I hated it because it was so boring. I did funny ones, so it didn't, it never, I mean, it wasn't like my ideal job, but I always enjoyed it.
Where you got still, to be funny, or yeah, where you was, just like took a bite and made a goofy face?
I did that, but then I got to be funny. And
The Volkswagen Mr. Roboto commercial is legendary.
That was fun. That was kind of like, yeah, I think they should still play it.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah.
And the fact that they spoofed it then on Arrested Development
Wasn't that fun?
So much inside comedy.
I know.
Of like that, that's just how deep that show is. Is you could watch it 40 times and still get like, oh my, like you'll still find a joke within a joke.
The sad thing is I'll do like talkbacks in the past about the show and somebody will, what was it? Somebody said something, oh, I know. It was when the doctor came out. Do you remember? And he said, okay, my hand was eaten off by a seal. And then I had to go to the hospital. And they had to. And then the doctor comes out to the family and says, he's going to be all right.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, thank God. He says, no, he's going to be all right. Like, he's only going to have a right hand. And so I remember talking to this group. And I remember saying, like, oh, well, the doctor came out and said he's going to be fine. And the person in the audience says, no, no. It was all right. And I didn't get the joke until 10 years later when someone from the audience had to explain it to me. That's how sad I am.
Wow. And you were,
but it's just like so many things I missed.
And I mean, constantly. Sure, being so close to it and then like not seeing scenes back to back to back where you have little things that are appearing in every scene. And
it was a dense show.
Did you know Adam Ray was in the show?
No.
Thanks, see, Brad. You missed that.
You missed that. Wow.
What did you play?
A lot of people missed that. I played one of the, in this in the last new season, I think it was episode maybe, oh, I don't know, 5 minute 22. Anyway, I can't remember.
Is that episode out yet?
Yeah, it was when,
in all honesty,
the closet, the magic.
I haven't seen them all.
Okay.
So
it was when Will
turning from straight to gay?
Yes, in the closets. And he went to a closet place to get the closet built, and myself and two other guys, it was like three scenes they gave us and we to help him find the right closet and then build it for him. And then there was this whole funny montage.
Oh, wow.
It was awesome.
How was your experience being on set?
The greatest. I mean, Allison, you know, just known forever. So she like, come do this. And it was
Allison's
great.
The casting director.
Yeah, Allison Jones. Yeah. She, it was great. I mean, Will was the coolest and
he was a really
chatted with
guy.
Us in between. And
you, and know, you both have similar voices.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just going back and forth. He's a big gamer, apparently. I didn't know.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Video games?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. I didn't know if it was...
What else could I mean by gamer?
Dice? I don't know.
Maybe he's... Man, he throws a dice.
He's a huge Uno guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Couldn't stop talking about Drawn 4. But yeah, he was great. And that is like... I mean, look, sometimes... And maybe you can speak to this more so, and also how you deal with like people coming in to do a couple day things. Mm-hmm. Do you go out of your way to like chum them up to make them... Because for me, I'm like, if that doesn't happen, like 100%. I'll still do my job. But like we were all way more comfortable... And Will didn't like, we didn't chat all day and go to lunch together, but like enough to where it was like, okay, cool. And I think he acknowledged that. He was like, we're going to have to play around a lot. So
it's play around, but it's also like, I think in middle school, I was the kid with the tray walking around the cafeteria, new kid, and it's an awful feeling. And so if there's somebody, and it's also when I've guest starred on other shows, that person that comes up to you and says, hey, man, welcome. Like, I know it might be a little crazy here, but this is how we do things.
Yeah.
It's such a gift. And to be able to do that to other people is like, it's life giving.
Now, when you walk onto a set, are you holding your Emmys?
You know what, it's weird, I am,
because I noticed you brought them with you today.
They're in my bathroom, just to give me something to shoot
for.
Made
them into like earrings or something like
that. People would think, here's the best part about being hilarious, people would go, what a great gag. And you're like, oh yeah, it's a gag,
but painful. They're in my kitchen.
Cool.
Well, my wife actually had one before I did because she's a makeup artist and she got one for this gig she did in New York. So hers always had the top shelf and mine, I haven't gotten to the top shelf.
Now, when you, before you got your Emmys, mm-hmm. was she always like, well, there's at least some talent in the family?
Oh, yeah. Hoarding it over me.
Just like, so like when you would have arguments, would it be like, well, I think we should go with the Emmy winner? Is that and now
in every argument.
Yeah, and now you're like, yes, we should. Here are my two
Yahtzee. Yeah.
Would have been three if not for Ty Burrell. Would have been back to back to back. You would have been the Chicago Bulls of the Emmys.
Oh man.
Is that as cool as it seems?
You know what was cool about it is I'm going to get all meta now, but I remembered it. And right. I think, because I remember going into it, I was working, I'm already getting into therapy. I'm going to get into therapy, guys.
Let's do it.
So I remember the Emmys were coming up. I had been nominated. I was blown away that I was even nominated.
Why?
I remember, I think just it's a party you never think you'd be invited to, you know? Yeah.
And I remember your category is just
stacked.
There's a lot of really talented guys. And I remember when it was coming up, I was like, oh God, this is so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And thinking, and what I typically do is I minimize it just to survive. It's like, oh, there's people, you know, people dying all over the world. We're spinning on a planet. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to kind of get through it because it can be overwhelming. And I remember this therapist was like, I want you to breathe. I want you to look around. I want you to say, this is where I am. I'm at the Emmys. And because I did that, I remember it.
That's
because every other time when I kind of minimize, and not that you want to have, I do also want to have a realistic viewpoint of it, but many times I would kind of push it away because it's too overwhelming.
Yeah.
And those are the times I don't remember because of it.
And damn. Did you write a speech? Were you prepared?
I had, in case it were to happen, I had bullet points because I knew I wanted to thank this theater that I grew up with, which was like a safe haven for me in Tallahassee, Florida. So I knew that I had that I wanted to thank.
That's good. Yeah. And I think it's good that you do the bullet points to where, I mean, hell, you're an improviser, so you can kind of.
I'm not, though.
You're not?
I'm not an improviser.
We'll edit that out.
Yes, because I said you're an improviser and you denied it, so you're obviously not an improviser.
Exactly.
You did not yes and.
I did not yes and you. But I can't say I'm not an improviser. I was not trained in improv. I did more sketch comedy in New York. I was a part of this group called King Baby. And so we did a lot of sketch comedy. So I didn't really grow up in improv so much. It was more sketch.
Why does that sound so familiar? Who else was in that group?
You know why that sounds familiar is because Jim Gaffigan's album was called King Baby.
But also, I have heard of the sketch group.
And it's his wife, Jeannie Gaffigan, who was in the group with me.
Okay. Maybe I've heard that.
And we did around New York, but it was very like, we weren't at big spaces. We would just kind of create our own shows.
Do you get checks from Jim? Be like, hey, guy.
Hey, guy.
King Baby.
No, we just got an email at friends. You guys mind if I take this name? Sure, go ahead.
Yeah. It's we're not getting back together. It's fine.
What sort of characters do you remember playing in the group? Like, would you always kind of like?
There was one character named Singing Billy who would always walk into a room and just start singing.
Love that.
And that had a little bit of Buster in him.
Great.
So I kind of got a little Buster from him.
Because you pull from everything, right?
I guess. No? I mean, I don't know if you guys deal with this, but it's like anytime somebody says, "How did you find this?" I never really have a great answer. It just kind of is, you kind of read the description and you kind of do your take on it. And I don't have a system. Like some people say, oh yeah, I really researched this. And I guess sometimes that's the case. But for me, it's just kind of like, try this.
Yeah. Because you find it as the show grows, right?
And as they write for you.
Yes.
Like for Gary on Veep, you realize, God, this guy is really codependent.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He broke up with Selena's boyfriend for her. You know, like, that's a new level. You know?
This is so funny.
Both those roles have sort of, both Buster and Gary have crushes on older women.
Yeah.
Buster being his mother. And
he dated a woman who was named the same name as his mother, Lucille.
Who was played by Liza Minnelli.
Who I made out with.
Yes.
Yeah, what was that like?
Amazing.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Is that
the highlight? Do you walk in with your Emmys or your phone playing the clip of you making out with Liza Minnelli?
Check this out.
How do you enter a room?
Yeah.
I made out with Liza Minnelli.
That's his character from King Baby.
She was so cool. And the thing is, her, like, all the thing is, you would just wanted to tell stories, aren't you?
Of course.
And her stories never came from a place of ego. It just came from a place of, like, listen to how crazy my life has been.
I love that. Yeah.
And my wife and I, she took us out to lunch once, and she was talking about this concert she did at Radio City Music Hall, and I was like, of course you did. And I didn't really know her music at the time. And so she started breaking out this song in the backseat of our car while she was smoking a cigarette. And
oh, you're just like, my God.
What is happening right
like
now?
Like, how many people would pay how much money to have Liza Minnelli just sing in their backseat?
People either thought when I was with her, they either thought she was Joyce DeWitt from Three's Company, my mother, or an impersonator of herself.
For sure. Because she is.
She has that look where it's like.
And that lead voice,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that voice. And she didn't have like the red lips and the spiky hair when she was out. Right. So people were like, huh. Like they didn't get it.
Yeah, I feel like her life is sort of like that story where Dolly Parton once entered a Dolly Parton lookalike contest and got third.
Yeah.
that's a true story.
Which is a true story.
No.
Yeah. That's a true story.
Oh, I just got chills.
Yeah.
I want to see that. That sounds cool.
For fun.
We'll be right back with more when Dolly gives you chills.
For
fun. It got chills. Like, how cool to watch that Dolly Parton getting third in her own contest lookalike.
How good was the lookalike?
That's what I want to know. Yeah.
Wait, is this true story?
Brad knows a lot of random
shit. I know a lot of
random
aspects.
And it's always accurate.
Okay. I'll look up and confirm, but Liza seems like one of those people that if she entered a Liza Minnelli lookalike contest,
she would get third.
Yeah.
Did she coach? Did she come in with some? Because I feel like she's probably.
But she sat in her director's chair like she was in Cabaret. Like there was something, the way she sat down was like she was about to break out into the musical Chicago.
You wanted her to.
Oh.
But did she
always.
Give you any? Was she like, all right, I'm going to start off with a bottom lip bite and then you're going to slip some tongue in and then we're going to go for it?
And then sweets, you got me.
Yeah, sweets.
No,
did she have any cool lingo?
What did she
like
say?
Like darling or
she did. She
babes.
Had like sweetheart.
Isn't that doesn't that feel like old-timey Hollywood?
But like so dear.
Yeah.
Cuz the thing is when I heard that she was going to be my girlfriend, I had to like take that in for a second. But then you're working with an icon and you're like this can go one of two directions. She could be just a nightmare or she could be what she was and she was super gracious and just kind and open and vulnerable and
how many people on the on both shows have there been similar experiences like that where you hear that someone's gonna come on and you're like, do you even get? You worked with so many amazing people at this point.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
you just get fired up to work with them. Not so much like I can't believe I'm gonna meet Mario Lopez or
Yeah, I think I guess I grew up on. I'm older than you guys, so I grew up on like Tim Conway, Carol Burnett show, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And she is one that I did her. She had the show on Netflix where she.
Yeah, you did it.
Little kids did advice.
I was up for the co-host that Russell Peters
did. Oh, yes.
Yeah. The show's great.
It's great. And that was a moment I was like, I got to tell this story.
Yes.
So I'm going to her show and I'm very excited to meet her because she really was my childhood.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, and I hadn't met her yet. And I was sitting in the dressing room and they had the monitor of the screen on so I could see what was going on stage when she was rehearsing her thing before she met me. And right before she came back to meet me, I saw her turn to the first AD or whatever, and the first AD goes, hey, so why don't you come meet Tony Hale and before we do this? And she just goes, okay, now who is this guy? Like she was just like, who? But not in a mean way,
no.
But it was like, it was so, I was like, okay, like it was a real she just, I don't know why I just said that story, but it was
she's
sense of like she's old school, so she's not gonna know, but in my heart she was everything, so I was like oh here comes Carol, and then it was just kind of funny that she's just like, okay, who's this guy?
She needed a Gary. She needed a Gary right there.
She's like, wait, what is this show?
But she Tony was Hale, so development kind team. And I mean it's like you're just and Tim Conway,
come on,
legend.
I mean, a legend. Him as the old man walking across the stage, super slow, with a dentist, with Harvey Korman. It's just like you don't see that stuff.
No,
and you don't see them mess up anymore.
Yeah,
I would rather watch a whole show of people messing up and make each other laugh.
Right,
that was the joy of the Carol Burnett show.
I saw you talk about that on, I think it was Fallon maybe, or about that.
God,
you,
now
that
I'm
you
repeating
you,
myself.
You, no,
you're
no,
fine.
No, there's just, I'm not going to ask the same question, but just about breaking.
But,
like, and you said you, and I also. You said you break them up.
I will say, I'm turning a corner on this because I have seen, oh, that's nice. Thank you. I have seen every gag reel now of Veep, and I do not break the most. Julie Louis-Dreyfus breaks the most. She fully breaks the most.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you guys are just.
How does everybody not?
Yeah.
I mean, like.
It's
and also, I'm super close to her, and she makes a noise, and it makes me laugh. And, like, even for that one scene I was telling you about earlier. Thanks, Katie. She comes up to me and she says, I'm going to need you to break up with my boyfriend for me. And we're literally breathing on each other. And I'm like, this is not going to work. Like, I'm going to fall apart. And I did, I broke. Like, I can't be that close and have someone being that tense and breathing on me, telling me to, it's just like,
yeah, you
I'm
step
fall
out
apart.
Of yourself. Yeah.
It's insane. And,
it's a testament to the writing, but also how good you guys are. Like, when you're that locked in, it's like, you can't help but then for, if you get a little moment of recognizing what is being, what's happening, and then you're done.
And she's
right?
a joy. And you guys know that feeling, like when you meet somebody, I'm sure you guys have it, but it's like there's just a chemistry. You feel like you can trust their comedy. You feel like if you say something, like if I say, something's not working here, nothing is worse than the other person going, really? I think it's okay. Or really? I think we're good. And you're like, oh, no. I'm getting a gut feeling like something's not right.
Yeah.
So on Veep, when you it was all those people that were like, oh, let's work on it. Like, let's make it better. You're obviously sensing something that's off. So let's, like, there was that trust.
That's so great. That's so great that they're able to, that the whole cast is able to put ego aside and just be like, oh, because now everyone's comfortable with each other. And when people are comfortable with each other, the comedy is just, it's
the table
a lot
reads
easier.
Must be so fun.
Oh my gosh, right? so fun. However, there was times also when that was not also nice about being on the same page, is there was times when the scripts weren't there yet, mm-hmm. and everybody was like, it wasn't the same vibe, you know, it was like there were, and the writers were like, all right, good, now we gotta get it there, and then it got there, you know. It's like everybody was on the same page.
The insults that go during that show.
Ooh, Jonah, man.
Are you ever sitting there as Gary going like, let me play? Like, let me.
Oh, yeah. And Gary, he was called a bitchy mime. That was his thing. And it's because he can't say anything.
Yeah.
So he just makes facial expressions behind Selena the whole time.
Yeah.
What's fun, though, is what she can't say, I say in my face. So, like, if she's talking to somebody she doesn't like and she has to put on a face.
Yeah.
My face doesn't have to, so I'm like, I just give him, he's an asshole face behind her.
Every time that she's trying, like, to make nice with, like, a boyfriend or an ex-husband or something, your face is behind. Or just
magical.
You hurt her.
Yes.
You evil person.
It's amazing.
But speaking of names, my favorite name that was given to Jonah was, you just have an odd shape.
And with all, like,
says so much. It's like, who wants to hear that?
No, that's not a flattering
statement.
With
all the insane insults that get flung with words that I can barely repeat.
You can't.
Like the fact that the most devastating is, you have an odd shape.
It's just like, just. But there was some, I mean, there was new vocabulary on that show, stuff I had never heard of.
When you intercepted a sneeze.
Sneeze bullet.
Dude, that's one of the, like, to me, just like, that's got to be on this, like, TV's greatest moments show, man.
And the great thing is he thought he was, that was his version of the sniper.
I know, dude. It was so brilliant,
that
man.
It was his glory day.
And her reaction to it of like, how, like, what the fuck, what just happened?
And he's like, I defended your life.
And now you guys are going in. And I
March 31st, right?
We talked about this already. But
no,
yeah.
March 31st is the last season. It was very sad. I know. It was sad, man. It was. You worked together. It was 7 years. And that last day, I think I cried for 4 days straight. And it was just like, everybody would like watch each person's last scene. We were all crying and hugging. And you could become family. A lot of that had to do with, and you guys probably get this when you're on the road and stuff, but it's, we were in Baltimore for so many years. We were away from our families, our loved ones. And so you become family. So we have that 4-year foundation where we really gel.
Yeah. And then you, like, now I'm sure you guys know about each other's wives, husbands, kids. Yeah. Like,
had kids during it. Got married during it. All that stuff.
Yeah. So you have been there for everyone's sort of big life moments. Yeah. And now,
totally.
Yeah. And
8 years is really a special amount of time to do a TV show. It's like,
no kidding.
I mean, I would love to know, like, the actual stats on that, but it just feels like these days shows just don't get that life.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, they don't. And the great thing about it is you can have a real, for the writers, they can have a real full circle moment in the writing. You know, it's like you can really see the whole circle that you had envisioned.
And with a show like Veep, it's amazing. Like, it's great that you guys went 8 years because the show is so brilliant. But at the same time, you look at it like, wow, it started off with the vice president. She becomes president. Yeah. Now she's not president anymore. Like, you would think the show would just stop. Like, there's nowhere else it could go from there.
Yeah.
But you guys just kept it going.
And
that's
really
a tribute to the writers.
And because I've been asked, like, what do you love about the show? And I think I do love this message of our society. It's just, it's never enough.
Yeah.
If you reap selfishness, if you reap, like, always out for yourself, just trying to get more and more and more, you just end up a lonely, isolated, just like sad human being. That's not where joy comes from.
Yeah. And you look at every character on that show.
Every character. And in politics today, like, people we are putting on pedestals, it's like, it's not going to be a good end for their life. Yeah. That's a really sad, sad, what's your legacy? That you were a douchebag?
Yeah.
That's like, I meet these, and not that I'm a work in progress, I've had my bad days, but I meet these, some of these people in Hollywood that are, you hear, are so awful. Mm-hmm. And I just want to go up to them and be like, hey, I don't know if you've been by a graveyard lately, but we're all going to die. Like literally, this is fleeting. Anybody who won Emmys, Oscars in the 70s, 80s, 90s, a lot of them are dead. So if you're going to continue being a douchebag, that's going to be your legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And
that's what you want? Is that what you want?
Yeah.
And there's tons of celebrities, whether it be actors, comedians, performers, where you say, like, you bring up their name and the person's immediate reaction is,
Yeah. Like, that's their legacy. that's what people are going to remember you for.
Yeah. And, like, there's no character on Veep where it's like, oh, that's the good one.
Sam Richardson has a real pure heart. I just completely blanked on his Richard is his Richard, name.
He's so great.
I just realized his last name is his first name on the show.
Yeah,
guys, this is how sad I am. And I will say,
you're a father.
I will say, I think it was this season, the last season of the show, I realized that Matt Walsh's last name was my character's last name on the show. I had made that connection.
Wow.
So that's how sad, that's how things hit me much later in life.
That has to be very confusing at lunch when people are just yelling people's last names and characters pop up and like,
oh yeah. And Gary Cole, anytime they would say Gary, I would look, but they were talking to Gary.
So funny.
And Gary Cole.
How great is that guy?
Oh, he's great.
Come on, right?
Another deeply resonant voice. Yeah. Yeah. Appreciate.
Did you guys do any like cast outings to bond, or was it really like in the first couple of seasons?
We did a lot. We would like go out for drinks after a set because none of us had families to go home to.
Yeah.
We were on location. Yeah. So we would just go out for a drink and talk about the day. We'd play cards at Julia's apartment. We'd, you know, have a glass of wine. It was just
probably like a real shithole, huh?
And
yeah.
It was a real slum.
Yeah. You'd probably like get into character by like going to tent cities and just making fun of homeless people.
Oh my God. No, that keeps it. Don't knock the fun of that. That was our favorite game. I will say, what's sad is when I'm on location, I will find myself, I don't know if you guys do this, but I will walk in a familiar place just to feel familiar. Like,
yes.
I'll walk around Whole Foods just to kind of...
Hilarious, yes.
Just to kind of have the smell of, like, I know this smell, I know this feeling.
Yeah, I know this grounding. Guy that's going to charge me $28 for an almond.
Oh, I love that feeling. Oh, soaps, too many soaps.
And I won't buy anything. I'll just kind of like, all right, this feels familiar. I'm going to walk into a CVS just to feel familiar.
Did you go to New York ever?
Yeah, well, I lived in New York for 8 years.
That's where you started.
That's right. Well, I grew up in Florida.
Tallahassee.
Went to college in Alabama, and then moved to New York in 95, and then was there for 8 years. Met my wife there, and then came out here when Arrested Development started.
And, oh, wow, so you got it when you were in New York.
Uh-huh.
And so you were doing...
At the time when you had to send tapes out.
Remember that?
Yeah, and then you had to wait, and then they called me out for the callback, and I was freaking out about that. I booked it, so that was overwhelming. And then they wanted to shoot at that same time, and I remember specifically running out of underwear, and I had to go to Old Navy to get underwear. That's my memory.
Old Navy. Getting a little shout out.
Hey.
By the way, we'll take some Old Navy underwear
sponsor this podcast. I mean, yeah.
How was New York? Right. Were you classic New York actor living? I mean, like...
Yeah, I did.
You said that's when you were doing commercials.
My first theater show was Shakespeare in the Parking Lot in the East Village. Taming of the Shrew in the East Village. And then I just cater waiter. Did you guys ever cater waiter?
Is that working at a big party?
Yeah, because I hated waiting tables because people can get so irate about food. But cater waitering, you just pass out the same food, and it's just these parties, and you would pass out the food, and you didn't really have to talk to the people.
Yeah, and no one has too many special orders unless, you know what I mean? It's not like, can you do this, but without the tomatoes, but add mushrooms?
Yeah. No, you're getting what you're getting.
Yeah.
And then I would pass out flyers in Bryant Park. It would temp. I do all kinds of, and then I started doing commercials, and that's when I was able to kind of make some money off acting.
When did you become a full-time actor? I'm not doing any other odd
jobs. Well, it took me 7 years to find a TV and film agent because people only saw me as a commercial actor.
Wow.
And then I remember pilot season would always pass by, and I'd be like, ah, this is so frustrating. And then this manager took a risk on me. Mm-hmm. And that's how I kind of found another manager, and then that's when the Arrested audition came out.
Wait, so they would see you like you know, in commercials. And they would like, just that's see about me the as, extent of his skill set.
And they would just kind of see me as the quirky guy who does a lot of commercials, and they never saw that I other for
no
other
imagination. Stuff. Yeah, they need to.
And it was frustrating. I learned a lot though, and that I mean, yeah. So I mean that that children's book, a lot of that came
Archibald.
Out of that. Archibald.
Yes,
because it's he. I mean, this is another meta moment, but like my time in New York, I was like, oh, I'd get so frustrated. I'd be like, that sitcom's coming.
You have to tell yourself that, right?
Yes. Yeah. But I gave that too much weight. So when I got it, Arrested didn't satisfy me the way I thought it was going to satisfy me. Oh, and it scared me because I was never really present in New York. I was always looking ahead and always being like, oh, and I was looking ahead. And the thing is, if you're not practicing contentment where you are, you're not going to be content when you get what you want. And I got what I wanted, and it scared me. And so the children's book is about a little chicken who's always looking to his next thing and missing where he is.
And he's got the bee sidekick.
And the bee's like, you got to just be, man. You got to just be.
Love the bees are beatniks. That's great.
Oh, yeah. New character.
And Archibald, people can get the book anywhere, yeah?
It's on Amazon, yeah. And the cool thing is it's the show that you did a voice on,
yeah.
And it's and now he's a very present chicken, and so yeah. He yes hands his way through life. He sees the best in people, incredibly positive.
You know that's a really important message, and whatever job you're in, I mean, hell, Adam and I is headlining comics. Like when we were hosting, all we wanted to be was headlining comics.
Yeah,
and now we're headlining comics, and we're thinking, yeah, we're not doing theaters.
No, I want to be as a juggler.
Yeah.
Wait, how long have you been doing it?
15 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I started.
Did you start here?
Yeah, because I was born and raised in Orange County. So yeah, my first open mic was at the Laugh Factory right down the street.
Really?
Yeah.
What are your? Would you guys say is your top? I don't know if you can say this.
Yeah,
top three venues. I would say maybe not just LA. Your top three venues that give you the most joy to do them at.
Well, let's break it down into comedy club, theater.
Yeah.
And
Comedy Works in Denver.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is.
And it's underground. It holds about.
Downtown club.
250 maybe.
Yeah.
And is it a vibe that you're like,
yeah.
I like this vibe?
It's the intimacy. It's the... I think all comics in a comedy club love the intimacy, but still obviously like want a good amount of people in there so you can make money and the laughs are really excessive. But it's underground. It's the acoustics are amazing. It's also Denver. I mean, Brad's been there so many times, can attest. Like,
so I would think this might be an ignorant question, but when I'm doing theater, I kind of like, there's a part of me that doesn't want to see the audience because
of course
you can kind of escape a little bit.
Yes.
Yes.
But with stand up, it's just the opposite. You like to connect.
I do.
I like to see the first couple rows.
Okay.
But not
everybody.
Yeah. If it's a packed house and you could literally see every single face clearly.
Yeah.
Then there are moments as you're talking where it kind of you kind of realize what you're doing.
You're watching yourself.
Yeah. You're like, wow. Yeah. I'm up in front of 350 people just getting mad if they're talking. It's all about me. Yeah. Like, you selfish fuck. Like, what's wrong with you?
Yes.
I will say to that point, though, I mean, I can't do it unless I see a good amount of people. Like, and I don't want all the lights up, but like, because I do a good amount of crowd work in my act, too.
Yeah,
so it's I have to have that connecting. I like to look people in the eye when I'm, you know, you're obviously, you know, performing. And so there's that element of just playing the room and using the stage. But like, I definitely am trying to not look blankly around and really like look at people. Cause it just,
what's your immediate go-to for a heckler? Like if somebody says,
don't have one, I'll work every moment. Definitely.
Yeah. You adjust.
You adjust. I mean, meaning you don't listen to them.
Well, here's the thing about crowd work is what I've learned over the years is that like, when I first started, I wouldn't listen. So I would just be thinking, oh, say something funny, say something mean.
Because
I wasn't listening, they'd say something, and then I'd be like, so that, and then whatever it was didn't coincide with what they said. And then when you get comfortable enough to like trust yourself to actually build the moment and even have some silence and kill it with kindness is what I do so that I have jurisdiction to slam them if I have to later. And the crowd's on your side. Because if you're mean out of the gate, unless you're a roast comic, people go see a show and Jeff Ross is... somebody does something and Jeff Ross immediately puts them down. People go, because that's what we're here for.
But, I love that you said it's the same as acting. You listen. You can't be in your own space. You have to listen. Yeah.
And the best part about when you listen to a heckler is I let them talk. I'm paying attention to them.
Sometimes they're too drunk to be there.
And then they'll inevitably always say something that gets me like, okay, now I have this.
Yeah,
they'll always. Or they'll
do you ever
always,
just want to get to their pain? I've done that.
Absolutely.
Start therapizing in a big way.
I love you saying that. That's what I do, and it's an amazing tool because literally I just recorded my album in San Francisco at this real intimate venue, and this woman, after one of my jokes, goes, "Well, that died," right? And it was a joke that kind of like tailed off like that. She goes, "Well, that died." And I go, "Now, what about that moment made you feel like you needed to say that right now?" People kind of started laughing. And then I just kind of went in on her. And earlier, this weird guy in the corner had this like top hat on and this vest. And I'd done a whole bunch of crowd work with him. And he had his hitchhiker thumb out. This started the whole show. And I go, "What are you, hitchhiking?" He goes, I have. I go, "You have?" And I go, "All right, fuck the album. Let's hear that story." He tells this amazing hitchhiker story. He said something that I won't say later in the crowd work, and then I end up using it on her later after what she said. But I like really eased into it and was just stayed calm, you know. But there have been times where I've lost it and on Trump people, and it didn't feel good.
Yeah,
in Reno, Nevada.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And you want there's probably a balance if you want to. I would want to get to their pain. Part of me to shame them.
Yes.
But then also to bring to light the motivation of why they're why, to your point, why are you feeling like you're needing to say that? Who hurt you?
Yes.
Yeah. No. There's been times when I've broken down a guy yelling at me by saying, "Now, are you mad right now because your girl is more attracted to me than she's ever been to you? And I'm making her laugh that more than you ever have and ever will." Yeah. Is that what you feel the need?
Is that
it? He's got to sit in that space.
Yeah. And now there's no way for him to answer that correctly.
What's a challenge of dude's manhood live? Oh, yeah. Oh, boy, there's a tough...
Right when you said that, but I was like, "It's nothing better."
Yeah, there is nothing because then I've done things like that where the guys yelled out like, "I'm gonna kick your ass." I'm like, "Great, you're gonna kick the ass of a dwarf." I hope was that your dream?
I can't wait
parents?
To see that headline.
Oh no, yeah. So is that the story that your dad's gonna lead in at his fucking dinner party with his friends? Like, "Hey, you know, I know your son just got his doctorate, but mine,
he beat up a dwarf.
Kicked the shit out of a dwarf in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Finally,
beat that cancer cure."
Oh, that's good. Okay, so Denver, and then who?
San Francisco. It's a good one. Top spot.
Wait, you say San Francisco?
The punchline. He does Cobb's up there, but the whole city. I've done the Masonic. It's their big 2,500 seat theater. It's just.
Do you ever
city.
Get nervous?
I mean, I always allow for not that it's not going to go well. I think we're both. I've been doing it 12. He's 15. We just done enough shows and enough times in you're not going to bomb because we have enough in our pocket.
We've handled any situation.
There's nothing really
we
can't.
I'm speaking as a person. I haven't done theater a long time.
Yeah.
And I might be having this opportunity soon, or it looks like I will. And
to go back?
To go back to it.
In New York?
And it's in San Francisco.
Oh, wow.
And there's something about, it's all, I'm excited about it, I'm excited, but it's that managing
Hamilton?
The, yeah, great. I'm gonna do it in Hamilton.
Okay, great.
But it's always about that managing the anxiety of it all.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's, I think stand-ups, the amount of practice you get in front of a stage to learn how to manage that, I'm just kind of fascinated.
Yeah.
I love to allow for a little bit of nerves, because if I don't, it just makes me raise my game. And not like nerves of like, "Oh boy, if I don't put pressure on, like if I don't crush, I'm not good," but more of like, you know, and that's why writing helps, because if you always have new material in every set, there's always
you
that.
You feel prepared.
Yeah, well, prepared, but also there's that element of like, oh, this, I don't, because new material, you never know if it's going to go well or not, you know, and that's the challenge and the joy of doing it. So if that's always in every set, then there's always a little uncertainty, and I can get up on that, you know?
I ever did this bit with Julia. We were at some show where we were presenting something, and it was crickets. And we left, and it's that, how do you handle that kind of moment? You know, of course, you can kind of spiral and be like, "Oh, we should have done this." And then you can just be like, laugh it off.
Yeah, we try. Yeah.
You guys do that all the time.
And the thing that I've sort of come to grips with is take comfort in the attempt. Mm. You attempted something.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
like,
good.
You had the bravery to even stand out there and be like, "I'm going to try something new. Yeah. I don't know if this is going to work."
You attempted something that ended up destroying your career.
Yes.
But take comfort in that.
I totally will.
You tried. But you hosted an award show one time, right? Or it was like a Webby or a...
Oh, it was...
Shorties, right?
The Shorties.
The Shorties.
Webby Shorty.
And it was a Y there somewhere.
There was a lot of fails in that one.
But like, you know, for that, preparing.
I remember having the moment of like, I've never, ever done this before. I mean, I don't know if I ever want to do it again. It's not, I don't know if it's my skill set, but like, woo, this is new territory. And you just got to keep walking.
Yeah. And like, I look at how the Oscars ran without a host this year, and I'm like, yeah, it seems like a lot of stress to host the Oscars.
And opening with Queen worked.
Yeah,
that worked.
It really did.
Yeah, they should.
You got high energy.
Yeah.
Everybody was on their feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a way to start an award show. They should do that every time.
And then just open with like funny right after that.
Well,
you know,
I mean,
which is what they did.
They have so many.
What was the funny after?
I think it was Tina Fey and Poor and Maya,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
At least like the first few should be.
Mm-hmm.
They have so many rock biopics coming out now because of Queen's success that they could literally do
next
that every
year. Elton John.
Yeah.
Next year's Elton John. Then they're doing Chumbawamba, Sean Mullins.
Are you serious?
Vertical Horizon, Tracy Chapman. That's actually not a joke. I would like to see that.
There is an Alanis Morissette Broadway show that just came out.
No way.
What?
Yeah, it's Jagged Little Pill. It's called Jagged Little Pill, and it's a Broadway show.
Yo, whoever is playing Alanis is probably, I mean, is it Idina Menzel? Oh, wait, I'm sorry, Adele Dazeem?
She's so good.
Come on, let's just address one of the great.
She's good, right?
Yeah.
She's unbelievable.
Well, with both good, Alanis and Idina.
I would love to see Idina and Alanis. First of all, just run their own country. Because those sound like queen names, but
it does just, sound very
just be in a castle to where people go.
Right? I mean, it's called Jagged Little Pill. Can you
look
that up
on,
right?
on your
my
master machine?
Device. Yeah,
I'm still waiting on Dolly Parton.
Oh, all right, it is a true story.
He's been trying to talk.
It
but
happened
not.
In New York, and not
what
only,
year was this?
Not only did she place third,
do we have footage or pictures?
Not only did she place third, but the person who won. Was a drag queen.
Wow.
So bring that to RuPaul.
That's a lot. Oh, yeah. Mama Ru, I got news for you.
Who's that drag queen? I'm, yeah, that show fascinates and amazes me.
So you've been watching all seasons?
My wife watches. I am in the room usually like doing dishes or something, so therefore I am watching.
Or you're watching by her side the whole time.
Sure, whatever. Yeah, whatever.
My wife's a makeup artist, and what
that's so cool.
The just the how they can change their face. It's just fascinating.
Yeah,
the contouring. I still don't understand how they put such dark lines on their face, and then in the end, you don't see the dark lines. I know that's a really probably basic thing, but they blend it to the point where but then it still contours the face. I don't get that.
You know,
I probably should be asking my wife this question.
My wife watched the show and then gets depressed because she sees what the men look like without their makeup, and then when they put on their makeup, they're like, "So we all could be hot, but we just don't have the skill set or the time." Okay,
and it's a lot of time.
It's a lot of time.
And the costumes and the money these girls got to put into it.
Yeah.
What are your shows? You and your wife. Do you have do you have a Sunday fun day where you watch shows?
What is the show? What's the show that we? Well, my daughter and I watch. Project Runway together.
Love that.
Okay.
And my wife and I, let me think, we are, this is what does scare me is because somebody will say, what'd you do over the weekend? And I never can remember.
It's okay.
It's not okay. It's actually really bad. Well, we watched that documentary this past weekend.
Yeah.
We always watch SNL the next day
on
Sunday. Yeah. A show though, we were watching Killing Eve, Killing the one with Sandra Oh.
Yep. Oh yeah.
That was intense.
Wow.
But I watch a lot of YouTube.
Me too.
Oh, yeah?
I really...
Don't sleep on YouTube. It's still kind of the king of content.
Oh, well, it's all my daughter watches. Like, it's all...
She's 10, right?
She's 13.
Wow. Are you watching how-to videos? Are you watching shows? Like,
I just... I love...
13-year-olds are all about
YouTube.
If I want
to laugh, I'll always watch Ellen sending somebody through a haunted house.
Hilarious.
That makes me laugh every single time.
Yeah.
However, I hate haunted houses.
Why?
I might as well just, you know, have a house to walk through my childhood. I mean, it's just like, what's around the corner?
Do you do like a Buster scream in real life?
What is the, let me think. I mean, this is another meta point. Not everybody can think of this, but with horror movies, with haunted houses, I genuinely don't understand them because there's so much fear in society. Why do we sit in a space in a movie theater and get scared together when we walk outside?
Yeah.
I'll watch CNN and be just as freaked out.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking to a guy who was in the country of Guam when Kim Jong-un was like, yeah, I'm going to nuke Guam. Like, within the next few
you
days.
You were there?
I was in Guam doing a stand-up show. And then they're like, yeah, I'm going to nuke Guam. And everyone's like,
dude, I was
all right.
Let's go watch a horror movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was literally on dwarf.com being like, who can replace him? How can I get a new podcast partner in 24 hours?
You can order one.
It is
you.
No.
It is it is funny, though, that like the amount of, I mean, there's this horror movie called Orphan. I remember seeing it. And then I went back to around.
Name
and
alone.
Yeah, and the kid was so creepy. And then I went back around my nieces and her twin 9-year-old girls, and they made one weird face, like trying to be joke, like make a psycho face. And I was like, oh, you're possessed. Where'd you put my string cheese? You know, like they're just.
Also, you look at that movie, Paranormal Activity.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you right now, don't mess with that shit.
I know.
That shit's real.
I know.
I don't want to sit in a room.
I know.
I'm not going to be playing with that. I'm not opening that door.
No. Yeah.
I already wake up at 3 in the morning and think somebody's
I know. Oh, do you get freaked out from little house sounds and stuff?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Damn. I like a sound machine for that purpose.
It it's
What's your go-to white noise?
Oh, just white noise. It says white noise.
Oh, so
there's
so,
there's a category that just says white noise, and it's like a.
Oh, I thought it was gonna be Fox News.
What if it was?
That's
I'm from the South. So
that's
that
Ed Funny
sense.
Brad on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's my famous white noise. I was debating between saying Fox News or Neil Young.
That does kind of sound like a Jay Leno. That sounds like an old, like.
I really think you should have gone with Neil Young.
Damn it, should have gone with Neil Young.
That sounds like an old Jay Leno joke, you know. The white noise. I got a new white noise machine, and it's called Fox News.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, the Google over here.
That is good.
Tony Hale here. Did you ever do
that
Leno?
Is
you
good.
Did Leno, right?
No. I never did Leno. I did
so
Letterman.
Many talks. Oh well, that's come on.
I did Letterman.
That's iconic.
He was
also being in really New York, cool, right?
The studio was freezing.
Everybody says that.
Yeah,
freezing. That's a really nice guy.
The producer of the show, I got this from the book, Robert Morton.
Yeah.
He came up with Morty Degrees, which is just you keep it fucking freezing so then everyone's alert.
Awake, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Because if you're hot, then you're like kind of relaxed, and you're slumping, and you're like tired.
It works.
Yeah.
It totally works.
It keeps you fucking up there.
Did he come say what's up to you before the show?
Yeah.
No, but he was very, very complimentary and just like cool.
Yeah.
I did it twice.
Damn.
Yeah, that was neat.
Did you get to keep your cue card?
No, I didn't know that's something that people do.
Yeah, I've been to a few people's homes where they got to keep the cue card of Dave, like, man, please welcome.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, technically you can make your own and just say it is.
Yeah.
That's true.
You can embellish it a little bit, like two-time Emmy Award winner.
My new best friend, hot guy of the year.
Yeah,
I think I was the second time I went on. I was promoting Archibald, the children's book. I was promoting something else, and I brought that, but the book hadn't been done yet, and it was just like the cover on like cardboard.
Yeah,
and I remember him being like, "What's this?" Like, and I was like, "Oh, maybe I shouldn't have that on the air."
Yeah. To answer your question, Jagged Little Pill, which ran in Cambridge, Massachusetts, will open on Broadway. Later in the fall, the musical based on the book by Diablo Cody.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, yeah.
So it's not... Wait, is it about her life?
I don't think it's the story of Alanis. It's like a story that uses
all of her music.
Kind of like the whole Mamma Mia thing. Yeah. But still, I will absolutely go see that. And I will be screaming that Dave Coulier should be thinking about Alanis Morissette when he fucks the other girl.
I will say that album is really iconic.
It's unbelievable.
It is.
Really iconic.
Do you have Carpool Kid music, and do you have Tony by myself Pump Up the Day music?
I'll listen to, my daughter will always listen to her music when we're kind of going to school, unless we kind of just want a time of talking. Mm-hmm. And then when she's out, I listen to cheesy music. Not cheesy, but like I listen to hymns.
Nice.
I listen to a lot of gospel music.
Some Enya?
Folk. I'll listen to folk music. Patty Griffin.
Mm-hmm. Peter Griffin?
Peter Griffin.
Yeah.
You strike me as a Weird Al kind of guy.
There's a band called Distant Cousins that did the theme song for, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. Anyways, there's a band called Distant Cousins, and who I really like. Eagle Rock gospel singers. I like just like really, you're in your car so much in LA that it really has become its own little sanctuary.
I
actually enjoy
sometimes,
being in my
car. And you kind of have to learn to enjoy it, because if not, you will go batshit insane.
I'm not a podcast person.
Can't do that.
Person. I'm just listening.
Except for the About Last Night podcast.
Every day. But I'm a lot of music.
Yeah.
I love music.
Karaoke?
That sounds like... No, I can't stand karaoke.
What?
It makes me very uncomfortable to watch.
It does, but in a good way.
I take that back.
Like,
if somebody,
make the parents
if
uncomfortable?
Somebody is really feeling it up there,
yeah, even
I
if they're
like
bad.
That they're having that moment.
Okay, good.
But you know, like the guy coming in 5:45, he got off work at 5:30, he's singing More Than Words Extreme by himself. I've seen that, by the way.
And I also just don't want to do it. I don't want someone to be like, come on up, let's do it. I'm like, that's not my thing.
Yeah.
It's like, and it's kind of like how you probably feel if you see bad stand-up where you're like, or bad improv, and you're I have to leave the room. Yeah,
I can't watch someone bomb.
It's too much.
And do stand up because
and not know how to bomb. Like if they bomb and then you can feel them starting to tense up.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's like a codependent nightmare. I gotta get out.
I have to leave. Let's move on to happier thoughts.
Oh, please.
Toy Story 4.
Wow. Yeah.
You are a voice in Toy Story 4.
I'm a voice in Toy Story. I'm Forky.
I mean,
I'm a spork named Forky who's
my.
Having a bit of an existential crisis.
I'm in.
Thank you, Pixar.
Just based on that. Yeah, just based on that.
How do you get that call? How do you get that audition?
Right.
It's one of those things like, you know how like, life is just funny because you think, you were mentioning about kind of your goals and dreams.
Yeah.
And I kind of try to stay present and it's hard. That's harder for me. Mm-hmm. But I would never have in the past been like, all right, I'm going to do a voice on that. You know what? It's just life just like throws a surprise like that.
You've done
like,
several voices.
I do a lot of animation voices and I really love that.
Did they send you like, was it an audition? Did they just straight up said, hey, will you do this?
No, it was they just asked if I did.
Wow.
Of course. You're just like, yeah.
did they show you what Forky looked like before you?
Yeah.
And were you just like, I'm going to be an action figure?
Yeah, dude.
I came in thinking, all right, I'm going to be like the guy on the motorcycle and I'm a spork.
Yeah.
I'm going to
be the cool spork.
This is when Buster and Gary dies and we get the manly. I'm going to be fucking Rambo. I'm going to be
that
guy.
No, you'd think Buster and Gary would be a spork.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, Joe. And they're like, no, spork.
That's always fun. It's like, you know, you've done animation, but it's like when they show you your character.
Oh, yeah.
That's always really neat.
Well, that's what I was saying, getting to see Archibald and what I voiced. Yeah.
Have you ever voiced a character?
Only one time, but I'm literally going from here to go do Robot Chicken.
No way!
So I'm so excited about it.
You're going to go to Stupid Studios.
Yeah. And I'm so excited about it because I love the show.
What's the character?
I don't know. They haven't told me what toy I'm going to be.
Oh, that's cool,
As long as it's not a dwarf voice, I'll be happy. As long as it's not like, the Peter Dinklage character. I'm like, this is my one time! One time!
Oh my God, how funny would that be?
I'd be so mad. You're like, we're doing a parody of the Leprechaun movies. So you'd be the Leprechaun. Damn it!
God, it's just my voice!
They had me do a real perverted like Michael Fassbender. So I feel like you're going to do...
Wait, really?
Yeah.
A perverted Michael Fassbender.
Yeah.
What's if when you get asked to audition, what is it always? The sultry?
Yeah. Like, I mean,
nice that you think that's
I love that.
Yeah.
That's what the ladies ask for. No.
It's that kind of like deep resonance.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
by the way, I don't have it. You hear my voice and you're like, oh yeah, quirky sidekick. Yeah.
I think spork. Yeah, I think spork.
Wait, are you going to get to, when does it come out?
June.
Holy shit.
June 20th, my parents' anniversary. Wasn't that nice of them? Wow.
Did they consult you on the release
date?
They sure
did.
We're looking for release dates that coincide
with
someone's...
My parents' anniversary.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, have you met Hanks and Tim Allen before?
I met Tom Hanks.
He loves Veep, right?
He's a fan of Veep. And last time I recorded, I saw him. And that was very... I mean, just like... That's one of those things like... He's such a nice, normal guy.
I know.
You know? And then you walk away and you're like, oh. My wife always makes me laugh because anytime she sees somebody like that, she always says their first and last name. So,
Tom
Hanks! Yeah. It's like we were... I don't know where we were at some appointment or something and we were going down the elevator and Lionel Richie walks in and she just goes, well, hello, Lionel Richie.
I love that, by the way.
I know. She just owns the whole name.
You know what? But at the same time, I mean, people in show business, they have egos.
Now, did he turn around and go, hello? Is it hello. You I'm looking for?
Yeah, exactly.
And you go, oh, this guy doesn't turn it off.
Nope. Always a bit.
Never stop doing that if I was Lionel Richie.
I wonder if he was pissed off when Adele came out with Hello and he was like, she took it from me.
For sure he was.
Right? Yeah. He's like, that's my thing.
If he was really with the times, he would have made a funny YouTube like response video.
Yeah, I think somebody actually did.
Really?
Because I spend a lot of time on YouTube.
Nicole Richie did?
Probably.
Yeah.
I will say that the fact that your wife says the full name, that's actually very helpful because I was walking my dog yesterday and someone pulled their car over and went, hey, Brad. And I'm just like, do I... No.
Assume it's me?
Are you a friend? Like, are you someone that I have met before?
And then
there was this like pause and I go, hey, and she's like, big fan, and then just drives off. So I'm like, well,
it would help with that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
I can see that. I can see that.
If someone walks up and goes like, hey, Tony Hale, you're like, oh, okay.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. We don't have a relationship.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question. What is your guys' go-to thing when you mm-hmm. see somebody that you know you've seen 100 times and you don't know their names?
Oh,
what would you say to them? Would you go, hey, man, hey, buddy, like, what is your go-to thing?
Bud or dude?
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Now.
Playa? Oh, actually, I say playa a lot.
And, you say playa.
And Jimmy Pardo told me to stop saying that.
now, you're talking to this person,
yeah.
And another person comes up that you do know their name, but you don't remember the name they're talking. Do you go, oh, do you know?
A thousand percent. Yeah.
Now, do you think it's now universal that people know that they don't know that? Sorry, that you don't know their name. That's a go-to thing that everybody does.
I just tell people that I don't know anyone's names.
Really?
So you will go up to somebody.
I flat out.
Really?
I'm honest.
Like a person you've seen all the time, be like, I don't remember your name.
Like, well, hopefully, if I see them all the time, that I somehow.
I don't think people know. I think there's a way to hide it. Like, yeah, like.
I'll do my best, but
like I'll be like, oh, Tony. Like, yeah, if somebody comes up, or if I know their name, I'm like, oh my, oh fucking.
Or
Barry,
you make
have
it
you
stupid,
met?
Like you just forgot to introduce. I do that a lot.
Or just don't do it.
I'll just be kidding with it, and then they'll say, hey, I'm. They'll say, hey, I'm Sally.
And you go, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh, I thought you guys knew each other.
Yeah. Or okay, oh my god, I'm so sorry. I don't know who the fuck you are. Yeah. But yeah. This is yes, this is yeah.
Exactly.
I want you to
That's
do
what
it.
My subtext is.
You're going on. You going on or went on a Disney cruise? I saw it on Ellen. Did you already go?
Yes, I already went.
And you love cruises.
I love cruises.
And I love that about you.
I love cruises and I love malls.
And I
and
love...
a cruise is a mall on water.
I mean,
so it's wow. A happy
if that's
place
not
me.
Their slogan...
That's right. It should be.
It really
it would
is.
Pull the same crowd.
And you said...
a mall on water.
Wait, we've got 2 minutes. I want to know, what do you love? Because we performed at the Mall of America a bunch. There's a comedy club.
Never been. That sounds
and
like...
And you love malls?
I love malls.
That's like saying you love Dolly and not knowing that there was an impersonator who's better than her.
And it was a drag queen.
Mall Mecca.
There's something... I think I grew... I know I did.
We grew up
grew up going to a mall.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up going to the park. I grew up going to a mall. Mm-hmm. And there's something about... the smell.
Yep.
There's
yep.
something about standing and be able to seeing every escalator clearly.
Yeah.
Going into there's always one department store that nobody goes into. There's
and
always
they love to see you when you come in.
Yeah. Yep.
There's always a Sparrow at a food court.
Yeah.
Always a Sparrow.
Damn right.
Panda Express.
And there's a certain smell. And there's always and my daughter pretty much learned how to walk at a mall because we would just go to a mall and there's little kid parks and she just practiced walking up and down the aisles. And to this day, our favorite activities is just go to the mall and walk around.
I fucking love that.
Which is so not the opposite of nature, but you know what? It's our story.
But at the same time, though, it's so great that it's like it's in now this time of everything's on an iPad, everything's on
right.
Everything's digital, everything's on a TV. Your people are having sex with their avatars. I just assume.
let's get into that.
Yeah.
That you're just like, hey, let's just go to the mall and walk around. There's simplicity to it.
There is,
and
I'll always go to Chipotle. I love Chipotle.
Yeah. There it is,
and I will always just sit and then just kind of tour around to kind of see what's going on.
People watching at the mall is solid.
There's just joy.
Do you have a favorite kiosk? Like one of those, like when I took my nieces last time, the guy was standing in the thing throwing those like gack balls. You throw them on the ground, it splats.
Kids love those.
Yeah.
My daughter loves them. I will say, if there's something I'm not a fan of, it's kiosks in the mall.
Oh.
That, if I could remove something, it would be kiosks.
That's a lot of business.
Because it takes away space to walk. And there's something salesman-y.
There's always like...
I don't trust them.
Hey, do you trust your wireless provider? Yeah. You're like, this is not
I
the time.
I guess I did.
Yeah. Maybe.
Well, even the guy with the gag ball is doing it in a way where he's like, you're a fucking bitch for not having as much fun as I am. Don't you want this? $4. Yeah. And you're like, get out of my way, man.
It's a little... It feels like the person spraying perfume on you when you walk in the department store. So I'm not... That's a section I'm
the
not a fan
the
of.
The only kiosk guy or girl that I will like is if they're doing... They're playing with some toy that some like thing that you need skill to play with, but they're really good at it.
Yeah.
I can watch them like there's something called a devil sticks where it's like three sticks and you just keep going in the middle. There's one guy that's like really good at it. I'm like, I'll sit and watch him for hours.
Yeah. And then there's
that's
always
the way. For real? You'll watch that guy do that for hours?
He's great.
I can and do there's 6 minutes always that kid tops. Who hates their job at a kiosk and is just on their phone the whole
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I know.
Not doing anything. That's and that, honestly, that's the kiosk I'll gravitate towards because I don't feel like sold at.
Yeah. You
know, they're not going to try. They're not the dude from.
Right.
Yeah, they're not going to try to do their job.
Bring and it back to Gary Cole, the guy from Office Space with like 9,000 yes. pieces of flair.
And I always have my go-to statement when I walk in a store. Hey, is there anything you can help with? Oh, no, we're good. We're just looking around. I mean, they say that all the time. Oh, no, we're just looking.
Have
no,
that
we're
just chambered.
Looking. Yep,
just
chambered.
Just ready to go.
We're just looking. We're just looking.
Yeah. Favorite moment on the Disney cruise?
Food. It is an enormous amount of food, and I do like choices.
And it's good. And I do like choices.
And it's like Cheesecake Factory. Cheesecake Factory is pretty much a catalog of a menu.
Yeah.
And I like those
choices. Everything.
If they don't have it on the menu, they'll go get it from another restaurant.
Yes, but then again, I also like an In-N-Out that has like five choices. And it's a very simple, so it's both.
So
I don't like that middle of the ground where there's like, are there choices? There's some choices, but not great choices, gross. But it's not simple.
Yeah.
So what's something about the final season of Veep that you're not allowed to say?
Great closing question, Brad.
Does Selena Meyer die in the end?
What is it? If you watch the show,
yes,
there was a mention of Labor Day between her and I. There was something that happened on Labor Day that shut us both down, like something we did together. And that comes up again this season. So of that, there's a little like I'll that mystery is like somewhere that I can say that.
I'm hoping it's that Gary just went to one of those like Eyes Wide Shut sex parties.
What happened?
And RuPaul's there.
I think. Oh, Mama Ru. But he's got
secret love affair.
I'm sure he's got some kind of altar to Selena in his apartment. He's also got like Costco versions of stuff that's in his bag that he just practices with every night getting out of his bag.
I got it. Nail seconds. Comb. Okay.
So March 31st, Veep, final season.
Yep.
Archibald, the book is out now.
It's out now, and the show's coming out in the fall.
And
it's very exciting.
I can't wait. It looks so good.
New season of Arrested Development just came out?
Yeah, it's coming out this weekend.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
God.
March 15th. And it's going to be fun.
And Toy Story 4 in June.
And Toy Story 4
you
in June.
You can't get enough Tony Hale in your life.
I apologize. You can't get enough emasculated, quirky sidekick Tony Hale in your life. You're welcome.
And every time you eat with a spork, you'll be like, Tony Hale! Thank you!
He can't even be called Sporky. It's Sporky.
Well, come back in June and tell us Tom Hanks stories.
Yeah. I'd love to come back. This is fun.
You're the best. Thanks for doing this, Tone.
Thanks, guys. I don't want to say goodbye.
So, that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Brad Williams and Adam Ray can help you get through the fucking day. Just follow us on Twitter at Funny Brad, and I'm at Adam Ray Comedy. This has been the About Last Night podcast. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Meh, what's up, dog? This is your pal Bugs Bunny. Say, I got a question for you. Do you know who has the head of Elmer Fudd and the body of Foghorn Leghorn? Why, that's Adam Ray and Brad Williams. You're about to listen to About Last Night. Ain't I a stinker?